Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. All right, well, welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360, Your Mortgage and More. Today, we got Michael Glassford. He is an attorney and estate planner. So we want to dive in about, you know, his journey first and foremost, because that's my favorite part, but we'll get some questions asked about estate planning, what's the difference between wills and trusts, a lot of good stuff here for our listeners. But first, I do love this question the most. Michael, how did you become an estate planner? What was your journey? Yeah, just tell me kind of how it happened.
So, you know, like everyone's, it's a long journey. You're an overnight success, right?
Yeah,
that took 40 years of overnights. So I never really wanted to be an attorney. I wanted to be a writer in high school and college. I was an English major, but I realized that, you know, writing people are usually poor. So I needed something to, you know, feed the need. And so I was interested in law, and I went to law school, and actually graduated in law school in 2 years. You're supposed to do it in 2.5 and three. I was like, no, I'm done. I just want to get out. So I did 90 credits in 2 years, and they made me come back for a half, you know, semester so I could, you know, make their ABA requirements, whatever. They just wanted more money, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So I started commuting back and forth to that law school, 4-hour one way to where I was working and living. And on one of those trips, we got into a horrible, horrific accident, like one of those Midwestern storms when like everything's clear except for where you are and it's raining cats and dogs, so you can like put your arm out and that's dry but you're wet. So that kind of a rain downpour, and we were between, like, we're behind two semi trucks, next to one, and boxed in by two behind us.
Oh my goodness.
And my only thought was, oh, expletive. And that's the last thing I remember. So we hydroplaned and went across the median and hit five cars coming westbound on I-70. And, you know, they did the jaws of life, took us out of the vehicles. I remember crying and screaming, but I don't remember seeing any of this.
Yeah.
Waking up in a hospital and, like, my body's broken. And wondering if my wife, if my son are alive. And just long story, lots of miracles happened. But that just really framed my legal practice, because I'm like, this could happen to anyone at any time. And so, you know, I started off in a small town, so I did lots of different practice. I was a divorce attorney, I was a criminal defense attorney, I was a prosecutor, I did estate planning, I did business law. And over the years, I've had the privilege of just letting those go. And so I've let pretty much everything go except for estate planning and business, because they're so intertwined. If your business isn't set up right, your estate plan isn't right.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And that's a really good place to be. I think it helps a lot of people. That's just a crazy story to me that happens on hydroplaning. You wake up, you don't know what's going on. That's your whole life flashes behind your eyes.
Fear is just sitting on your chest. You just don't know anything, and it's like palpable and just gets you.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I've hydroplaned once when I was 17. There was no one around. As far as around us cars wise, but there were three of us and we went right in the medium, but I could not control. It was insane. So very gratefully you're safe now and you're good. You probably had a rough journey but what happened to your body? Like, did you break any bones or what was there?
So, you know, some contusions and some hip issues. And actually that started a weight issue for me. You know, it's probably like 240 pounds back then, and that ballooned me to about 400 pounds, and
wow,
was stuck there for 10 years until I finally took some good advice from some good nutritionists and actually had a gastric sleeve surgery done and lost about 150 pounds. And
good for you.
So that was a whole other journey.
So, I mean, now you know, though, but it's part of your core for how important estate planning is. So tell some of the audience that's listening to this just very surface level, what is estate planning? What types of estate planning can you do if you're looking to do this?
Yeah, so like when we hear this estate planning, we often think, you know, like big houses with white columns and plantations, and that's not me, right? Well, that's not estate planning. Estate planning is anything that you own in your name, and we're planning for it, whether we're passing away or whether we're living. And a lot of folks miscorrectly think that the estate planning is about the day you die. And like, you know, I'm not a Klingon or a Viking. I don't need to die well. I want to live well. I want to do some really awesome stuff in life. And estate planning is like that. And I tell a really quick, cheesy Star Trek explanation for this. But, you know, I ask, who's your favorite character on the show?
I'm not a Star Trek big fan, but I would say the main guy, Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk, yeah, that's a good one. There's Picard, there's Crusher, you know, all the characters. I say the shield, because without the shield, there's no show. They fly into space and suffocate. Or they fly into space and Klingons shoot them down and they explode. And estate planning is like that shield. It allows you to explore your own space.
I like that a lot. So essentially, it's a way different look. Like, I love the point you made there. It's not your deathbed. It's the way of living. It helps you, shields you throughout life. So that is a really cool explanation there. Are there different types of estate planning, like just areas that you loop a ton of different stuff all into one? How do you even start?
So, you know, to begin the conversation, there's a lot of information that it's gathered, and I've created a guide that helps people put that together. But then we're just going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation about, you know, what their goals are, their desires, what they want to accomplish. A lot of times people will say, well, how much is this? And I'm like, well, that's like walking onto a car dealership and looking at the car salesperson and saying, how much is car? And they're like, car? Like SUV, truck?
Yeah, yeah.
How big's your family? What are you going to be doing with it? It's the same conversation with estate planning. Like, we really need to know specifics before we can quote a price on what you're going to be driving away with. And so...
So there's a lot of different type of packages and thing there. Tell me a little bit about kind of the difference on here. We got estate planning, we got wills, we got trusts. What's kind of the difference and how do you wrap those all together when you are doing estate planning?
So each one's a tool and each has a different place in estate planning. And a lot of folks, we've been trained, we've been taught that wills are what we need and, you know, get that done. But if you think about it, how do we know about that? It's movies, it's TV shows, it's,
yeah,
you know,
little TV shows.
Right. You know, Knives Out, that was awesome. Yep. Christopher Plummer, Brewster's Millions when we were little kids, you know, all those shows. Why are wills in so many movies? Because they make problems, drama. And, you know, that's great for movies, but that's not necessarily great for our family. So a lot of people don't realize that a will is a roadmap to a judge. It tells the judge what to do. So that means if you have a will in play, you're in court, your family's in court, they're paying attorney's fees and court costs and publication fees. And they're going through that process, which in minimum is 45 days, you know, on average is about 6 months, rather than, I don't know, grieving the loss of the loved one or, you know, celebrating life or whatever you should be doing. You're spending time, money, and an emotion doing that stuff, completely avoidable. So that's wills. Then on the trust side, a trust is a vehicle that we can create like an LLC or an corporation, a third party that can hold property in its name. And so when we do that, we essentially fire the judge because we don't need their permission to transfer everything. There's someone always in authority, whether you as the trustee or the whoever you've named as a successor trustee, and that's just a fancy word for property manager. Yeah. They're always going to be someone to take care of the property on behalf of the trust. So we've made everything private. We've taken it away from the court. We've taken all those fees and unnecessary time and emotion out of it. And we've also created a plan where the family understands, hopefully, that you communicated. So we've de-escalated conflict and we have, you know, very clear objectives and goals, and families can like survive this without ripping each other apart over a rocking chair that has grandma's indelible backside print.
Yeah. So it definitely helps make it so much more smooth when that time does come. It helps alleviate, like you said, a lot of time, a lot of other heartbreak. And when, you know, at the end, if, you know, hey, I like your point about this is about life, right? Making your life better. But when that time comes, like you said, grandma passes away, it does make it much, much easier for everyone involved because then they can really focus on what's important.
Yeah.
Celebrating her life and all the other stuff's already been kind of taken care of. So
be ready for that day. But before that day comes, grandma lived this amazing life.
Yes.
And like there's so many stories that we're about to share at this, you know, celebration of life because she just could go all out. She had that one thing taken care of.
Yeah, it was already taken care of. When do you suggest people start? Because a lot of people just don't know about it. They don't know when to start. What would you kind of suggest starting you personally? Let's say Kyle. When should Kyle start estate planning?
So it's like a three-part answer. So it's like when you plant a tree 20 years ago.
Yes.
And when's the next best time now? But there's the third component is if you're asking, you already know the answer.
Ooh, I like
you're
that.
Ready if you're asking. Because... I don't want to write a trust for an 18-year-old that isn't asking, because they're not going to take advantage of it. They're not going to use it. They're going to put it on a shelf. They're not even going to know what it is. So they're not ready. But, you know, if you're in that phase where you're like, hey, I have kids now, or I just bought a really big house or something like that, and you're asking, yeah, it's time.
Time. So that's a great answer to that. I love that a lot. And then you also have a hybrid approach. It's not just estate planning, but it's also business planning. Tell me a little bit about how that works. What's your focus on there, and just kind of just your philosophy on that piece?
So the hybrid approach is the, you know, there's a big barrier to estate planning, to business planning. People think that attorneys are way too much money. I'm not going to argue that. But there comes a point where people just don't call, and they're like, I'll just do it, or I'll just go online and do it, or I'll just download that document. That's fine. There's actually nothing wrong with the download of document. The problem is you, because you don't know what the document actually says and does and will do for your family. That's where, you know, the professional comes in, because we just know that stuff. I mean, we can walk you through that document, and we'll have much better crafted documents because we've curated these over the years.
Seen all the things that have happened too with different documents. So you're creating this, like you said, the shield of like, hey, look, we had a scenario here 10 years ago, all the experience, the things you've seen, you can definitely combat, and you know exactly what's going to protect them on that piece.
Yeah, so the hybrid piece comes in where, you know, if you go online, there's a certain price point that you can pay. And if you go to a traditional attorney's office, there's another higher certain price point you can pay. And so what I can do by going virtual with my clients, meeting them online, Zoom meetings, things like that, and having no overhead and just not paying for those big expensive bookshelves and fancy old books, because you're paying for that.
It's true.
I can deliver the attorney quality material at closer to the online pricing, but they're getting the best of both worlds.
They're getting experience at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of our core values here is experience is everything. You know, I always say people that use TurboTax are self-employed, you're losing more money than if you actually went to a tax professional, even if they may charge a little bit more, but there's all those hidden fees and all these things that you don't even know about. At the end of the day, I think I have the same philosophy here, that if you do it yourself, you're probably going to be veering closer to losing more money than if you were to save by actually using a professional that knows what they're doing. So
yeah, and it's the same problem with realtors, with attorneys. Like the issue is you never feel the pain because the professional avoided it for you, and so you just never know what you don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Like people are like, "Well, I don't have a realtor." Well, you just don't know what kind of bullets that they took for you, so you could just close at that house closing and not have any issues.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Same with estate planning, and so it's really just critical to pay for the experience. And
yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. You know, I know a lot of people, especially in Utah, they do it yourselfers. They like doing that kind of stuff. But I think when it comes to finances specifically, you definitely want to get your professional umbrella of people aligned.
And they might do it okay, and they'll never know the savings, the benefits that they could have had. Like you said, with paying the taxes, there could have been a huge, you know, portion of the tax code that they could take advantage of that they'll never know. And they think that they got ahead because they didn't pay a CPA.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. That's great. I wanted to kind of pivot on some of the other stuff that you do, because you do a lot of things outside of estate planning. That's a lot. Really cool. You're an author of a few books, because you said you enjoyed writing, and that's what you did in college. Tell me a little bit about your books. I'm curious to hear about that.
So I have one book that's published. It's called Fog of Fortune on Amazon. It's a pirate story. So
amazing.
I was telling bedtime stories to my son, and we were doing Treasure Island, and he really liked that. And so he's like, tell me another one. I'm like, the library doesn't have any more books on pirates. I'm sorry. And he's like, I don't care. Tell me another one. So we're like, all right, well, you like Long John Silver. Let's make a pirate, Jonathan. He's English, so Edwards, Jonathan Edwards. But that's not a name that strikes fear. So let's name him Captain Silver Sword. So Jonathan Edwards, Captain Silver Sword, was born, and Fog of Fortune just took off. I told it, you know, as my son was growing up. And then one Thanksgiving, I was in Florida. I'm like, I need to write this. So wrote it down, published it in 2014, and then just earlier in that year, I had submitted it to a contest, the League of Utah Writers, and actually won Best Young Adult Manuscript that year. So I was like, I got a little big head, and so I'm like, ready, let's do this. So I self-published it, went that route, and haven't sold a whole lot of copies because I haven't put a lot of my marketing money behind it, but it's opened up doors, and it's, you know, opened stages, and I just really like the book.
Yeah, that's really cool. How do you balance that with all your work, all you do? Like, how did you, I mean, did you just put your head down during Thanksgiving and just write it all out, or how'd that work?
So, I mean, it definitely takes a balance, because I wrote that, and I wrote the second book like in a month after I published the first, but the second book isn't published yet. Yeah, it's just been sitting. I have like 6 or 7 books that are just sitting.
Still cool that you have them in the works. That you, now you know you've done it once, and so now you can, you know, replicate that and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. You know, any last things you want to talk about when it comes to estate planning that you'd like people to know that are listening to this?
Well, just the idea of you're reaching out, asking that next question. Don't be afraid to do that. You know, I offer a free 20-minute Zoom with folks.
It's awesome.
You know, there is a cost to it. I do want you to fill out the guide that I've created so we can have a cogent conversation.
Help you.
Yeah, like, and the trick is, if you've done that, you're actually ready to do planning. So whether it's with me or you take that and work with someone else, you've come a long way by just filling out the guide.
That's really cool. How can we reach out to you to get that guide, or what's the best way of getting a hold of you?
So the best way is online, the website's www.legallifeplan.com. It's a creative way of saying trust and contracts. Legallifeplan.com, lots of L's slammed together. Or you just call me, 801-610-6691.
That's perfect. Well, thanks, Michael Glassford. You are the man. I have to talk about the shirt. You said your wife has a shirt company. She makes shirt. Tell us about this one. I think it's hilarious because it pertains to me almost perfectly.
So, yeah, my wife just is starting this company. We're actually in pre-launch. It's called The Salty Saint, thesaltysaint.com, and it's a faith on the feisty side. And so she just comes up with these awesome sayings, and she actually has a thing that if you come up with the saying, then you get the shirt for free.
Cool.
So
okay, I'm gonna definitely submit that.
Yeah,
put that in.
All the submissions.
I love that. I love Jesus, but sometimes I swear a little, crossed out a lot. My wife would appreciate that one because that's me. Anyway, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.